Several years ago now, I was hiking in Isuk Park, and I wasn't in the Elon Park area. I was down in the area in the interior of the park, and I was hiking, and I was in the middle of the forest. I was hiking by myself, and I was on this trail, and I was walking along, and I saw this little hill. And I thought, you know, if I can get to the top of that hill, I'm probably going to have a great viewpoint. But there was no trail to get up there. So I searched around, and I found a little deer trail, and I thought, oh, it'll get me to the top, and I climbed up to the top, and I got to the top of this hill, and I looked out, and the view wasn't as good as I thought it would be. But as I got up there, and then I thought, well, it's time to go back down, I looked for the deer trail, and I couldn't find it. And I don't know if you've ever been in the woods and started to get disoriented and feel kind of lost. It's a really weird feeling. And I'm up on this hill, and I'm looking for this deer trail, and I can't find it. And then I found this trail. I thought it was the trail, and yet it wasn't the trail. But I took it anyway. And I started to go down, but I was going down the other side of the hill. And I was going down, and I ended up going down into this gully. And I get into this gully, and I'm messed up. I don't know which way to go. I am lost. And then I had a moment of clarity. I thought, hey, smarty pants, if you go downhill, you're going to hit the ocean. And so I bushwhacked down through this gully and eventually got to the ocean. I thought, okay, now if I go to the left along these rocks, eventually I'll find a trail. And I did, and I eventually got back to the parking lot. But it took me hours. And it was quite a feeling, that feeling of feeling lost. But you notice what happened to me on the top of that hill? I lost my orientation. Made an unwise choice, which led me to take the wrong path, which led to me being messed up. And I would suggest to you today that there's a lot of people in our society that have lost their orientation. They're lost. And because they're lost, they're making bad choices, and because they're making bad choices, they're going down wrong paths, and because they're going down wrong paths, they're ending up messed up. And they're not just messing up themselves, they're messing up society. Well, we're in a series on the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was on a hillside and he was teaching his disciples. We're calling the series Jesus Unfiltered. Tonight we're coming to Matthew chapter 6, and we're starting in verse 19, and Jesus, in these verses, challenges us with three simple yet profound truths. Three simple yet very profound truths. Let me read the verses to you, then we'll go through them together. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Three simple truths. Truth number one, everyone treasures something. Everyone treasures something. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Every human being, everyone, including all of us in this room, are investors. Every human being is investing in some sort of treasure. The question is, what are you investing in? And Jesus here says, do not store up treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, on earth, in heaven. Most scholars think Jesus was not talking about location here, but rather the kind of investment on earth, investing in the things of earth, in heaven, investing in the things of God, investing in the things of heaven. Now, I think you'd probably agree with me that most people today are oriented towards vesting and storing up earthly treasure. Most people today are into investing in and storing up the things of this earth. And in our culture, that is usually either money or stuff. We store them up because we think those things will bring us happiness. Those things will bring us security. And Jesus says to us in these verses, don't do that. Now, let me be clear for a moment. Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't own anything. Nor is he saying we shouldn't save. That is not what Jesus is saying here. What Jesus is saying here is that money and stuff shouldn't be our focus. That we shouldn't selfishly accumulate earthly treasures like money or things. Jesus is saying here that we shouldn't think bigger and better all the time. Jesus is saying here that we shouldn't deceive ourselves into thinking that earthly treasure will bring ultimate happiness. Because Jesus says to us, that earthly treasure you're consumed with, you're focused on, you have to get that earthly treasure, listen, he says, it's going to either be destroyed by nature or time or other people. Author Randy Alcorn puts it well when he says this. We ought to periodically take our kids to junkyards to let them see what happens to the material things the people long for. We need to show them that these things that people longed for and which were so important to them 10 years ago are now wasted in the junkyard. We know that. We know that earthly treasure is temporary. We know that. And yet we still want it. We still desire to store it up. We still think falsely that if we store up money, if we store up stuff, that it will bring ultimate happiness, joy, satisfaction, and security. But Jesus says it won't. And so what if rather than focusing on earthly treasure, we decided instead to focus on storing up treasure in heaven. And we store up treasure in heaven when we do the things the God of heaven requires us to do here on earth. Let me say that again. We store up treasure in heaven when we do the things that the God of heaven requires us to do here on earth. And what does God require of us? He has shown you, O man, O woman, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. We store up treasure in heaven when we walk humbly with Jesus. We store up treasure in heaven when we love mercy, when we compassionately serve and bless others. We store up treasure in heaven when we act justly towards the poor and the oppressed. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Now, catch this. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves. Notice, do good, be rich in good deeds, be generous, be willing to share. When you live like that, You are storing up treasure in heaven. Where are you storing up your treasure? Where are you storing up your treasure? I got two piggy banks here. At the top of the piggy banks is a slot for money. And you can put money in and store money up. You can put money into the piggy bank of earthly treasure. You can put money into the piggy bank of heavenly treasure. But you can only put each coin into one of the two piggy banks. You can only put the coin either into the piggy bank of earthly treasure or into the piggy bank of heavenly treasure. So let me ask you, where are you investing your time, your money, your resources that God has given you to steward? Where are you putting it? Into earthly treasures or into heavenly treasures? You can put your money into the piggy bank of a bigger house, of the newest technology, the more luxurious car, the more expensive clothes. You can invest in those earthly things and store up your treasure on earth. Or you can choose to invest in heavenly treasure. You can invest in spreading the gospel around the city and around the world so that people find Jesus and follow him. You can invest in compassionately serving and blessing others. You can invest in acting justly for the poor and the oppressed locally and globally and in Mexico. But you only get to spend each coin once. You only either get to invest it in earthly treasure or heavenly treasure. Let me ask you, which piggy bank is storing up treasure in heaven? Which piggy bank are you investing in? Can I suggest to you that the average North American churchgoer is investing in the piggy bank of earthly treasure? And their lives look something like this. They hold the earthly treasure close and they go, me, bigger house, nicer clothes, better car, me. Oh, Jesus, here's a little bit for you. Me. Oh, the poor, yes, here. Me. The average churchgoer in North America is hugging the piggy bank of earthly treasure. And you know what Jesus says? Where you put your treasure is where your heart is going to be. It's where you're going to put your focus. It's where you're going to put your time. It's where you're going to put your resources. It's where you're going to put your energy. And doesn't this explain a lot? You see, Jesus is serious. We don't like the words of Jesus, and we don't take the words of Jesus seriously enough. But Jesus says, you need to invest in heavenly treasure, not earthly treasure. And we go, yeah, Jesus, whatever, but this is mine. And Jesus goes, no, I'm serious, folks. You need to invest here. So, where are you putting your treasure? Truth number one is everyone treasures something. What are you treasuring? Where are you investing? Here's truth number two. Everyone has a worldview. Look at verse 22. The eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus is speaking metaphorically here. He's saying, what we fix the eyes of our heart on, the eyes of our soul, the eyes of our inner being on, determines everything else about us. Every single person lives with deeply held presuppositions about life. And these deeply held presuppositions create your worldview, your vision of reality, your frame of reference through which you live and view life. Whether consciously or subconsciously, every single person has a worldview, a view of life that gives shape and meaning and direction to their lives. And your worldview impacts your entire life. It impacts how you live. It impacts what studies you take. It impacts how you spend your money, how you spend your time, how you relate to other people, where you store up your treasure. See, the question isn't, is a worldview shaping your life? The question is, what worldview is shaping your life? Is it the worldview of money? Is it worldview of stuff? Is it the worldview of self? Is it the worldview of family? Is it the worldview of my girlfriend or my boyfriend? Is it the worldview of God? Another way to put that is, what kingdom are you living from? What kingdom are you living from? Are you living from the kingdom of self, where you're the center and everything revolves around the God of you? Are you living from the kingdom of money, where everything revolves around the God of money? Or are you living from the kingdom of Jesus, where He's the King of Kings, He's the Lord of Lords, and everything revolves around Him? Everyone has a worldview. What's your worldview? Here's the third truth. Everyone serves some sort of God. Notice what Jesus says in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Every human being on the face of this planet has a God. Every human being on this planet serves somebody. If you're old like me, you remember Bob Dylan. And Bob Dylan wrote a song several years ago entitled, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." And I'll spare you singing it. But let me read you a few words from it. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You might like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you got to serve somebody. It might be the devil. It might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. You might be a rock and roll man prancing on the stage, plenty of drugs at your command and women in a cage. You might be a businessman or some high-degree thief. They may call you doctor. They may call you chief, but you got to serve somebody. Oh, you got to serve somebody. It might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And Bob's right. You got to serve somebody. So who are you serving? Think back to this last week. What God were you serving? The God of stuff, the God of money, the God of self, the God of family? Or the Lord God Almighty. Now the word in verse 24 here for money was originally translated mammon. And mammon means in that in which we trust. That in which we trust. Mammon is anyone or anything other than God in which we place our ultimate trust, in which we try to find our ultimate security. Now here's the kicker. Most mammon is good. You wouldn't give your heart to it if it wasn't good. Things like career, money, stuff, relationships, other people can all become mammon when they become more important than God in our lives. And you notice Jesus states a very simple factor. He says, you cannot serve both mammon and God. Cannot. Jesus is speaking absolutely here. He only uses the word cannot twice in the Gospels. And here's one of those times. He says, folks, it's not both and, it's either or. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Your heart only has room for one God. So who or what has your heart? Who or what has your allegiance? Who or what do you serve? In other words, who or what is your one God? You go, I don't know. I haven't thought about it. How can I find out? Well, I'm glad you're asking that. Let me give you some questions that will help you figure out who it is you're serving. Here's question one. What gives me ultimate hope in life? What gives me ultimate hope in life? Any answer other than Jesus is a potential mammon. What brings me the greatest joy in life? What brings me the greatest joy in life? Again, any answer other than Jesus is a potential mammon. Here's a weird question, but let me unpack it for you. Who or what do I fear? Who or what do I fear? Fear is a good indicator of what God you are serving because we appease what we fear. If you go to the source of your fear, it will help you see what's really important to you. Let me give you a for instance. If you fear rejection by others, and that causes you to downplay your allegiance to Jesus, then your mammon is the approval of other people. So what or who do you fear? Here's another one. Where do I resist God's word? Where do I resist God's word? What areas of the Bible do I avoid or skim over? Because one of the reasons you may be avoiding or skimming over those sections of the Bible is because they threaten your mammon. Often in North America, we avoid verses that talk about caring for the poor or about justice for others because if we took those verses to heart, it would cause us to sacrifice some of our stuff. And that threatens our mammon, the god of materialism. I don't want to sell this to bless someone else. I don't want to sacrifice. Remember, I give the token over to that far piggy bank. Or when the Bible talks about giving generously to God's work, to the church and other ministries, we skip over those verses because they threaten our mammon of money. And we push back. Jesus, you can't be serious. The Bible can't really mean that. Here's the fifth question. What am I willing to sacrifice? Would you be willing to downsize your house, your car, your expenditures for the sake of Jesus and His kingdom? Your resistance to that question will show you your mammon. Let me give you a bonus question that's not on the screen. Into which piggy bank are you investing? That one question will tell you who your God is. Are you storing up earthly treasures or are you storing up heavenly treasures? That one question will tell you what God you're serving. It will show you who your God is. Your heart only has room for one God. So who or what is most important to you? Who or what are you serving? Who or what is your God? Jesus gives us three simple truths. Everyone treasures something, everyone has a worldview, and everyone serves some kind of God. Now, Jesus is the master teacher, and I want you to see the progression here throughout the next slide. The treasure we seek is impacted by the worldview we hold, which is shaped by the God we serve. The treasure you seek is impacted by the worldview you hold, which is shaped by the God you serve. Or I can turn that around for you and say the God you serve creates the worldview you hold, which determines the treasure you store up. It determines which piggy bank you're putting your treasure into. The God you serve creates the worldview you hold, which determines the treasure you store up. So what God are you serving? If many, many churchgoers in North America go, I'm investing in earthly treasures, then what God are they serving? And who are they following? Jesus never said he wanted to follow you. Jesus wants you to follow him. And you may not like what Jesus says here tonight, but Jesus is giving you a choice. Take my words seriously and follow me, or reject my words and don't follow me. Follow some other God. But you can't have it both ways. You can't say, I'm following Jesus, but I'm storing up earthly treasures. Jesus says, no, no, you cannot. It doesn't work that way. He says, if you're following me, you're going to store up heavenly treasure. So Jesus leaves us with a clear choice. Where are you storing up treasure? The answer to that will point you to a worldview, which will point you to the God you're really following. So who are you following? And Jesus says, the reason you're messed up is because you're following the wrong God. You've taken the wrong path. If you want to know real satisfaction and real happiness and real blessing, follow my worry and take my word seriously. And that leaves us all with a choice. What are you going to do with the words of Jesus?